airport area at the Alaska, at the AIA hangar, and at the Arctic hangar, excuse me, and at the Alaska Airlines hangar. We're presently, we have quite a few people, several hundred people in offices that are associated with inventory control, warehousing, transportation, both air and ground transportation. So the sum of all these facilities right now is 68,000 square feet and close to 300 individuals working outside of Fort Wainwright in office facilities for LASK and Bechtel. Now, when we occupy, when we're able to move into North Star, we will move about 270 to 300 people to North Star. And the, as you may know, we're going to be out taking over three new 60,000 square foot warehouses at the North Star terminal. And one of these is going to contain offices for several hundred people. And we're going to consolidate much of our inventory control, our warehousing, our purchasing at the North Star terminal. When we occupy that particular facility, that'll give us an additional 36,000 square feet. So if you add up all the office space outside of Fort Wainwright, we're talking about a little in excess of 100,000 square feet of office space that we will be occupying outside of Fort Wainwright. And that will, we will, when we move into the North Star terminal, which is going to be sometime in March or April of this year, we will have this 100,000 square feet available to us. Let's take a look at the Fairbanks housing facilities. And again, outside of Fort Wainwright, Alyeska currently has the entire Klondike Inn committed to it. We have about 53 people living at the Klondike Inn, primarily people who work out in the airport area, the airport complex. These are primarily professional people. Alyeska has 23 families living in condominiums out on Chena Pump Road. And Alyeska also has some 75 mobile homes. We have 75 families at Collegiate Park. In addition to this, in addition to these particular facilities, we currently have some 200 people, workers and white collar, but both blue collar and white collar workers, living off the private, living in motels and hotels in the Fairbanks area. And of course, there are many, many employees that live off the Fairbanks economy that live in their own private facilities that we have not attempted to enumerate. Now, as far as Fairbanks warehousing is concerned, again, the heavy arrows on here indicate the locations where we have warehousing facilities. We presently have about 190,000 square feet of warehouse space that we are using today in the Fairbanks area. And when the North Star terminal is available for us, that's going to increase. It's going to increase by about an additional 160,000 square feet. We presently have some 360 acres of open storage in the Fairbanks area. You're all familiar, I'm sure, with the Pike Storage Yard up on Steese Highway. And of course, at the Pike Storage Yard, in addition to the operation, in addition to serving as a storage area, as an open laydown area, we have our double joining operation, which has just started up a couple of days ago. We have a large shop up there for insulating below ground pipe, and that is about to start. We also have a large maintenance shop, heavy equipment maintenance for our pipeline section 3. And just backing up for a second, for those of you who are not familiar with the way the pipeline is divided, in the Fairbanks area, the pipeline construction is called pipeline section 3. That's about 145 miles of pipeline construction. And Price, our contractor, is occupying is using a large building at our Fairbanks pipe storage yard for equipment maintenance. Moving west, we occupy a large laydown area at the railroad yard. Down at North Star, we presently have six modular ATCO type warehouses that we're starting to move into, and we'll talk a bit about the new facilities down there in a few minutes. At Second and Broadmoor, of course, we have warehousing facilities, and our major warehousing and staging area for air shipments and for some ground shipments is at the far end of the Fairbanks International Airport, where we occupy the Arctic hangar, the Alaska Airlines hangar, and four or five small buildings that we call the green buildings. So this shows the extent to which we are spread out in the Fairbanks area for warehousing operations. I mentioned before the North Star Terminal area. Presently, we have erected 6 modular-type 60 by 100-foot warehouses that we're starting to use, and 3 warehouses are being built by North Star Terminals that we will lease. These facilities are going to be available in several months, and we'll have all of them available by midsummer. And of course, then the hub of our warehousing operations is going to be in the North Star Terminal area. And that has certain advantages to us from the standpoint of being located towards the south end of the city and being in a position where we do not have to bottleneck the city streets as we move equipment and transportation through the city of Fairbanks. We'll show in a few minutes how our operations are going to be such that we're going to avoid the downtown streets of Fairbanks when we start working out of the North Star Terminal area. I'll close this off as far as our present Fairbanks facilities are concerned by talking about the medical facilities. We presently have some 10 beds at Carriage North that are used for workers and other personnel who are injured on our job. We have offices at the Medical Arts Building, and of course our doctors work out of the hospital in this particular area of Fairbanks. Now let's move over to Fort Wainwright and talk about what we presently utilize at Fort Wainwright. As you may recall, our lease calls for us using 27 buildings at Fort Wainwright. And on this map, we've colored in several different colors for, again, the people in the front, I think, can see it. We have a pipeline camp operation, and this pipeline camp operation is shown here in red. Primarily, the focus of our pipeline camp operation, I said this is Section 3, and Price is our contractor here. We are presently using two barracks buildings that we have renovated at Fort Wainwright, and we're housing approximately 850 people in those two buildings. Now, those buildings are used for things other than sleeping facilities. We use the buildings we have a 1,000-man mess hall, we have recreation facilities. Our orientation program that all workers on the pipeline have to go through is housed in the basement of one of those buildings. We have a facility for furnishing our workers with Arctic clothing before they leave the orientation program. We have engineering offices in those buildings. So those buildings are very well, very completely occupied at this time. In addition to the two large red buildings, Price also uses several other buildings on Fort Wainwright. These are smaller buildings, and they're primarily small warehousing operations. Price operates this pipeline camp as we operate any other pipeline camp on the project. And the certain warehousing facilities are required, and we have taken some of the buildings that we leased that are contained in our 27-building lease and that were houses before, and we're continuing to use them as warehouses. In addition to the pipeline camp, we have a headquarters camp. The headquarters camp operation is the focal point is building 1555. Building 1555 is the post headquarters, of course, which we're co-occupying with the Army at this time. And this is where Alyeska and Bechtel have their headquarters for the pipeline department. Alyeska and Bechtel presently have about 900 people in the Fairbanks area. And some 700 people are officed right now at Fort Wainwright. Now, in addition to the headquarters building, we presently are using 4 Army BOQs, Bachelor Officer Quarters, which a certain amount of renovation work has been done, and we're housing single status professional people. And these are designated by the arrows in this area. We've also established a cafeteria on Fort Wainwright, a 500-man cafeteria to serve our working force, our office working force. And we have a large engineering office on Fort Wainwright for Bechtel, Alyeska engineering, and for Bechtel and Alyeska quality control, and all of the various departments that are required to support our pipeline operation. We have a renovation contractor, McLee D&H. McLee D&H is our renovation contractor for Fort Wainwright. The renovation work to date has cost us about $8 million in Fort Wainwright, and we expect to expend around $12 million total there. And McLee D&H is occupying several buildings on Fort Wainwright, and they're indicated by blue here. These are small buildings primarily for warehousing operations, for maintenance operations. Jeff, there are several facilities of the several buildings of the 27 buildings that will be turned over to us by the military later in this year, and these are indicated by yellow. And the primary buildings that are yet to be turned over to us are three BOQs, Bachelor Officer Quarters, and the Provost Marshal Office, which we intend to use for office facilities on Fort Wainwright. So this pretty much covers the facilities at the 27 buildings that we presently have under lease from the Army at Fort Wainwright. Now we're going to talk about what our present bed capability is. On the left-hand side, we've shown numbers of beds, and these are using the leased facilities that we have available at Fort Wainwright. Presently, we have about 1,150 beds that we are able to use on Fort Wainwright. And at the middle of the year, we're going to be increasing to about 1,330 beds. So on Fort Wainwright, using all the facilities we have available, we have about 1,330 beds available to us. Now, if we superimpose upon that the beds that can be made on a long-term commitment basis from the private sector. Now, the bottom line here is presently our beds that are presently available on Fort Wainwright. And superimposed upon here are beds that could become available from the private sector, from hotels and motels in the Fairbanks area on a long-term commitment basis. Now, you'll see a bunch of stair steps in this line, and that's because many of these private organizations, motels and hotels, have commitments, of course, and they, particularly as we approach the summertime, this is April, this is May, June, July, you'll notice a difference in here. There are several months in here where the numbers of beds that are available from the private sector are reduced primarily because of commitments, tourist commitments. But on the average, there's about 460 total beds. Difference between these two lines, about 460 total beds that can be committed from the private sector on a long-term basis. Now, if we, the blue line here superimposes our the blue-collar bed requirements. And using the blue-collar, just these are blue-collar bed requirements. They do not include any of our professional staff. These are people, workers that we have to house in the Fairbanks area. And this shows that towards the latter part of the year that there is a shortfall, or there is a shortage of about 270 beds just for blue-collar workers. Now that shortage, remember this top line here, this top stair step line is the sum of both the beds available on Fort Wainwright today and what we think that we can obtain from the private sector. Now, if we add to that the white-collar workers, and unfortunately this doesn't come through very well, but the top line here, the red line, is we've added white-collar workers to the blue-collar workers. And again, this stair-step line shows what's available in Fairbanks from both Fort Wainwright and the private sector. We have a shortfall of about 870 beds towards the latter part in summer and fall of this year. 870 beds between what we need and what we can provide at Fort Wainwright and what we think the private sector can provide from in the way of long-term commitments for a hotel and motel space. Jeff, let's back up one, okay? I just wanted to say a few words about this line. That is our best projection to date. That could vary 10% either way. Obviously, we've got people that spend full time just looking at what the new requirements are going to be. But I think that number is a pretty good number. And that shows that, in towards the end of this year, that we need about 2,600 beds in the Fairbanks area to provide space for Alyeska, Bechtel, execution contractor people. Many of the beds required are for transients, people that we call them transients. They're workers that come into Fairbanks. They go through the orientation program, but for one reason or another, they can't get out. The day they go through the orientation program, they have to spend overnight here. And sometimes because of ice fog, they may have to spend a week here. And that's one of the reasons why we need as many beds as we do. But this right now, this assumes that there is no ice fog problem, for instance. You might be interested to know that during the last ice fog we had, we ended up not only filling up Fort Wainwright, of course, and many of the beds in Fairbanks, but we ended up having 200 people in Anchorage who could not come to Fairbanks. They were tied up in Anchorage because there were no facilities for them in the Fairbanks area. Now, we expect to have several more situations like this, but that is not included. That is not included in our projected figures here. Good job. Okay, what's the solution? The solution is to get the slide projector to work. We're not sure about a lot of things, but I think we're sure about this solution. Seems we get right to the climax and buoy. We have studied many alternatives. We've been looking at a number of different options that we think are open to us. One option we considered was don't bring people to Fairbanks. That seemed like a ridiculous solution. We made a basic decision months ago, a year ago, to put our headquarters operation here. And once we start fragmenting that headquarters operation, we build in inefficiencies that we just can't stand. We looked at, we've had a number of discussions with the private sector. And as I said, we've identified 460 beds that we think can be made available to us on a long-term basis. But the solution became obvious to us, and the only viable solution that we have available to us to provide this shortfall of 870 beds was to install some, on a temporary basis, some additional beds at Fort Wainwright. And what we have proposed is at Fort Wainwright, as shown in yellow here, which is adjacent to one of our pipeline camp buildings, installing 560 mobile-type, don't get me, they're not trailer-type units. These are standard camp-type units. They resemble the Mobile Lease, the Chemo, the ATCO-type trailer-type unit, but they're bedroom units. We're talking about installing 560 beds at Fort Wainwright, tying into the existing utilities at Fort Wainwright. And it makes a lot of sense, of course, to be able to install a facility and to tie into existing sewerage and electrical utilities at Fort Wainwright, and to use the facilities in the two camp buildings that we presently have, the office space, the recreation facilities, the mess hall. We have a 1,000-man mess hall. And we're able to handle this additional influx of people primarily because many of these people are working the second shift, so our mess hall becomes a operation that that serves more than three meals a day. I said 560 beds, and I also said before that we don't know what our requirements are that accurately yet, within plus or minus 10%, and that 560 could be 400 and it could be 700 beds. And over the course of the next several months, as our numbers firm up, we would plan to go ahead and to make a final decision as to the exact number of beds that we would install at Fort Wainwright. But the number of beds would be temporary, of course. They'd be installed on open area, a field immediately behind what a building 1020, and building 1020 is presently being used by us as a communication facility. They'd be there for a month, or excuse me, they'd be installed for approximately 1 year to 18 months. Thereupon, they'd be removed. In fact, the peaks at different camps occur at different times. And we would, our plans are to install these for to handle the 1975 peak. And because the 1976 peak does not occur in Fairbanks, it occurs at other camps, we remove these units and reinstall them at other camps along the line. Now, if we go back to the charts that I showed before, the bottom line here, the heavy line, shows the existing capability at Fort Wainwright to house personnel. The dotted line shows what our capability would be if we installed 560 beds. And that says that as of May 1st of this year, we could have 560 additional beds available to us at Fort Wainwright. We go back to the one of the charts we showed before. The top red line shows the total beds required in the Fairbanks area. Now the top dotted line shows the number of beds that we would have if we add, if we take what exists today at Fort Wainwright, 1,330 beds. If we add to that the private sector beds, 460 beds, and if we add to that 560 additional beds that we would install at Fort Wainwright. You'll notice that we come close to meeting our needs, but we still are several hundred short. And as I said, as we, over the course of the next several months, as we determine our requirements better, as we get more confidence in the figures that we generate, then we could, and as we determine the extent to which the private sector can give us more than 460 beds, we'll cover that shortfall, that shortfall by using more private sector facilities or by adding additional to the additional beds on Fort Wainwright above the 560 mark. Our present plans are 560. We think that's adequate. But you can see the need for the 560 beds. Actually, right now, if you look on the left-hand side of this chart, the red line at the end of January is already exceeding what the combined capability of Fort Wainwright and 460 beds in the city of Fairbanks can provide us. And there's a period of time in here that we will be saturating the Fairbanks area simply because we do not have any additional beds available at Fort Wainwright. In addition to beds, we want to lay out here today are what some additional ancillary facilities, peripheral type facilities that are required at Fort Wainwright. And there are several, three different types of facilities in addition to beds that we'd like to install at Fort Wainwright. They're shown in yellow on this particular map of the Fort Wainwright area. I mentioned before the 560 beds. In the lower left-hand corner is a fueling facility. Our pipeline execution contractor for Section 3, Price, needs a facility to fuel his construction equipment. We originally went among the leased facilities at Fort Wainwright were two tanks that we originally planned to use for this purpose, but because of safety and other regulations, we're not able to utilize those tanks. Therefore, we'd like to install several skid-mounted tanks for diesel fuel and for gasoline, for construction equipment for the camp only. All of the vehicles that are used by the headquarters camp would continue to be serviced and continue to get fuel, receive fuel from Fairbanks area service stations, just as we've been doing in the past. So we're not talking about changing how we've been operating. We're saying for the construction equipment that our contractor needs to operate, he needs a fueling facility at his camp, and that's a fueling facility that we've shown here. The second additional facility besides beds at Fort Wainwright is a helipad. Again, for this pipeline camp contractor, he operates helicopters for his survey crews, for his supervisory personnel, and we need to install for him a small fueling facility to give him jet fuel for helicopter operation out of Fort Wainwright. This is a small facility and includes a small building for warming, for heating helicopters during cold weather. Finally, the shown up here on an insert to this map, of course, is a Fort Wainwright airstrip. We presently do not use a Fort Wainwright airstrip, and our plans are not to use it for other than supervisory personnel, for light aircraft, for fixed wing, and for helicopters. However, we would like the flexibility of being able to utilize the Fort Wainwright airstrip as a contingency for aircraft of an F-27 class to take workers from our orientation center to Camps North. Presently, we bring workers from this building, from our orientation center by bus to Fairbanks International Airport. From there, we fly them to Camps North. What we're proposing is that in the event we have ice fog conditions or other situations where if Fairbanks International Airport cannot handle either the aircraft or the personnel, that we like the flexibility of being able to move people through Fort Wainwright and through the Fort, using the Fort Wainwright airstrip. Now, this would not affect landing fees. It would not affect fuel or maintenance revenues at the Fairbanks International Airport. We would operate this like any other camp airstrip. The aircraft would originate wherever they originate now, either in Fairbanks or Anchorage. And the same revenues and landing fees and taxes that accrue to the agent to the governmental agencies now from the use of Fairbanks International Airport would continue to be received, even though we did make some use of the Fairbanks airstrip. This covers the, just to sum up once again, the total of, I'll mention once, I said before that we have gone ahead working with the Army to develop a road through Fort Wainwright and to reinforce a Bailey Bridge over the Chena River so that much of our traffic will bypass the city of, will bypass downtown Fairbanks, traffic moving from south to north and from north to south, and will actually move through Fort Wainwright. You can't see it here, but I'm shown on black is a road that where work is being done to upgrade the road and upgrade the Bailey Bridge so that our double-jointed pipe and all of our heavy equipment is going to move through Fort Wainwright rather than through the streets of Fairbanks. Okay, summing it up again, what we're saying is because of a need for 870 beds and because we can't get those 870 beds anywhere else, even after we've utilized 460 beds in Fairbanks and 1,300 beds on Fort Wainwright, we want to install 560 beds on Fort Wainwright. We want to install a small construction equipment fueling facility on Fort Wainwright, a helipad, and to have the ability on a contingency basis to use a Fort Wainwright airstrip when necessary. And ladies and gentlemen, that sums up what I wanted to present to you today, and I'm open for any questions. They do not include families. These are for people who are in single status. We have, of course, a large number of families in the Fairbanks area now, but they're small. Even though they're large in number, they are small percentage-wise compared with the total number of people that are going to be going through Fort Wainwright. So no, the figures do not include family status people. Yes, sir.
Right, these are designed for your transients that are going to the other campus, right?
Dr. Wood, it's more than that. The lion's share of this is not for people that are going to other camps. The lion's share of these requirements are for our pipeline execution contractor,
Price,
for McLee D&H. McLee D&H has 174 people right now working on renovation of Fort Wainwright and maintenance of renovation of the 27 buildings. I shouldn't say it's not renovation of the total Fort Wainwright, of course. McLee D&H has 174 people living in our facilities right now at Fort Wainwright. We have ARA, our catering contractor. We have H&S and Earth Movers will be occupying facilities at Fort Wainwright. We have professional people. We have 400 Bechtel professional people on single status occupying beds at Fort Wainwright. We have Alyeska people who are on single status at Fort Wainwright. So the lion's share is not transient. We have allowed, Harry, help me, 200? 100, of the total number of beds, there's only 100 allowed there for transients. I'll say that the problem during the past week was we've had many more than 100, primarily because of ice flow. The question was, what I mentioned, the figure 2,600 at one point, the total number of beds that we require for all of our single status people, blue collar and white collar, is 2,600 beds. No, the total number of beds required in the Fairbanks area for single status people is 2,600. Is that right, Harry? Now, I may be off. When you look at those the handouts, I may be off by 50 or so, but that's pretty close.
Frank, this doesn't include subcontractors and vendors and that type that will be coming in, not your execution contract.
This includes no provisions whatsoever for vendors, for salesmen, for other subcontractors. We assume that these people will continue as they have in the past, and they will obtain their facilities from the private sector in Fairbanks.
What number of people are you expecting to be out? You used to figure 14,000, 15,000.
The question was the number of people we expected to peak, and we used 14,000 to 15,000. The peak, the pipeline peak, is about 16,000 personnel. The pipeline peak. Now that's total of manual and non-manual labor. What's happened though is, even though the peak has not increased that much, south of the Yukon it has increased significantly. And north of the Yukon, in fact, it's decreased somewhat. Yes, way in the back.
Do you conclude that 100% of the people that are employed on the project going back to utilizing the beds, or are you taking into consideration that many of these employees are local people with their own housing?
We have assumed that, and of course we have some figures, we have figures available to us right now that show that a certain percentage of the employees of these contractors are local people. And we know that many of these people, of course, live outside of Fort Wayne right now. And yes, they do take into consideration our estimate of the number of people that will be living locally, bona fide local residents.
Sir? Will rooms have to be made available to the local residents as well?
Will rooms have to be made available to the local residents? You know, right now, with our project labor agreement, rooms are made available to any employee on the pipeline project. And that includes people who are bona fide residents in the city of Fairbanks. Now, some people exercise that option and others don't. Quite frankly, there are a number of beds that, a small number, but some beds that are never slept in because people exercise that option, but they still live at home. Yes, sir.
Frank, are you going to have to seek permission in order to expand your facilities at Fort Wayne, right? From the U.S. Army?
Of course, we need permission of the, yes, certainly we need permission of the United States Army to expand any of our facilities. And we've had a number of discussions with Colonel Martin and with others about this, and we anticipate that we had great cooperation from Colonel Martin, and I have every reason to believe that this will be accepted by the Army. Is that all?
When do you actually expect the construction of the line itself?
Well, construction line has already started. We're building work pad today. We're installing vertical support members on a test basis down at milepost 82 today. We have some 4,800 people working on the project today. So we're not laying any pipe today, but the biggest operation on this pipeline is not laying pipe. It's getting ready to lay pipe. Yes, sir.
Do you feel that your availability of office space will take care of your needs?
Do I feel that the availability of office space will take care of our needs? You know, every month I ask myself that, and I always say yes, but then I find out I'm wrong the next month. When North Star opens up and we're able to move some several hundred people, 270, is that the number? 270 office workers to North Star, and then Yes, at that time, we will have enough office space. Right now, we don't. Right now, we're cramped. I don't know how many of you people have seen our facilities, but we're really tight all over. Yes, ma'am. Do we anticipate using any university facilities? The answer is no, we do not. Yes?
Who do you expect to build with 560 units?
Who do we expect to build it?
Yes, and install it.
Well, okay, I really haven't gotten that far yet, but the obvious answer to that would be either McLea D&H or Price, but I really haven't crossed that bridge yet. You know, these are, I'm sure you're probably familiar with these units. It's a matter of taking these units, they're completely assembled, all of the furniture is in the unit, and it's a matter of taking them and setting them in place and connecting them to other facilities. These units are completely self-contained. They have completely self-contained wash facilities and lavatories and toilets and so on. I don't know yet. They're asking me a question I haven't addressed yet. But there's no problem. We've got plenty of local contractors in the area that are capable of building. Just put it that way.
What about the tapering off process at the end of next year?
Tapering off process at the end of 76?
What can we expect there?
Well, we're going to have a significant reduction, a large reduction in workers in the pipeline. But there's not going to be that large percentage reduction in the Bechtel and Alyeska staff. We expect to be anywhere from one-third to one-half strength as far as our Fairbanks presence, our office workers, our professional people, through mid-1977. Because we've got a lot of things to do after the pipeline's built. We've got a major restoration program, got a major revegetation program. We've got assets that have to be disposed of, hundreds of millions of dollars of construction equipment and camps that have to be disposed of. So the tapering off is going to be a slow tapering off. You're not going to see a drastic drop. But facilities like the 560 beds at Wainwright, we expect to be gone by mid-76 because they have to be used elsewhere in the pipeline. Yes, sir?
You're seeking some classifications of materials and services under the Defense Reduction Act. Are you at the point where you can outline any of those things for us,
specifically
where they include housing materials?
They do not include housing materials. With the downturn of the economy in the lower 48, there is not a real problem getting modular-type camp units of the type that I'm talking about here. Going back to your first point, as far as the pipeline is concerned, we have not made much use of the defense priority. We've used it for some of the steel, but basically, most of the materials for the pipeline have already been prepared. We may use it for some of our construction equipment, but quite frankly, with the downturn in the economy in the lower 48, we're not finding it really necessary. Yes, sir?
Will the beds that you have out on the plane right now, will they be utilized after the slump takes place here?
Will the beds at Fort Wainwright be utilized after the slump takes place? Yeah, well, Alyeska has as I recall, a three-year lease. Is that right, Colonel Martin? Five-year lease at Fort Wainwright. And we have no long-term ambition to, nor plans to stay at Fort Wainwright. We will discontinue using facilities at Fort Wainwright at some time in 1977. Yes? How many beds are in the temporary units? Each unit contains 56 beds, and a unit has how many modular units? There are 8 trailers that bolt up together to make a 56-man unit. We're talking of 10 8-trailer units, or 80 trailers. Does that include all of them?
Each unit is 28 feet by 208.
Each unit 28 feet by 208. So we're talking of 10 of those units. Well, these are identical to what we have everywhere else on the project as far as dormitory type units. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Said the workers are not leaving the hall very rapidly. That's news to me. We're processing 116 to 120 people a day through our orientation center. And I'm not sure if that's because the influx of workers to the Fairbanks area is greater than it obviously is, if that's the case. It's difficult to put more than 200 people a day to work effectively on the project. And it's we've made many studies as to how fast we should bring people on board. But when we reach 200 people a day, it's very difficult to put 200 people to work effectively. You can give them a bed and a place to stay, but to give them a meaningful piece of work to do is very difficult. So we're limiting ourselves to somewhere between 150 and 200 people a day. That's quite a bit. You figure out 30 to 25 days a month or so, it's quite a few thousand of people per month. Yes, sir. I'm glad you asked that question. Well, by mid-February, the 1st of March, our microwave, the Alyeska microwave system, is going to be complete. That's going to take a significant load off of MUS. We are installing our own switch, another switch at Fort Wainwright, and that's going to be operable at that time. But I can't tell you how that's, obviously it's going to have some effect on reducing the load on MUS, but someone from MUS would have to help me out as to whether or not the city could see that or not. So let's say that February 15th to March 1st, we're going to get out, we're going to be not using, we're going to reduce our usage of MUS significantly. Anything else? Okay, I thank you very much. Mark, did you want to take it?
Thanks a lot, Frank. Appreciate your on the screen, so very soon to help yourself.